of Lamentations. Whoa, messing you up. Whoa. You would think I was going to go for Luke, but you're wrong. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for your goodness, your kindness in the land of the living. I thank you for snow, Lord, for provision in our land in the Eastern Sierras, God, that you are watering the land. We give you praise for that. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for this Christmas season. I pray you would bless this church, bless families and individuals that are represented here today. And God, I just ask for your grace, your anointing, your power today, Lord, to break yokes off of people's lives, to change hearts and situations, to rearrange us on the inside. Father, I thank you for doing what only you can do. And we just put a demand on heaven. We love you, wonderful Jesus. We glorify you and we praise your holy name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Well, we just finished a great series on the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts. And if you missed it, I'd encourage you to go listen to that and check it out, because I do feel it's an important message for where we are as a body and where we are as a church as a whole in America. And I feel it's important to come back to our roots and to come back to what the founding fathers of the faith begin to preach so boldly and what they begin to live and walk in. But this couple next weeks, week or two or three, I want to jump into a little message or sermon series I want to call Christmas Playlist. Say Christmas Playlist. You know, how many have a Christmas playlist when the Christmas season starts rolling around? I got it on my phone. We got it on the computer back there. We got a playlist. We got some of our favorite songs. You know, some Heather likes Amy Grant Christmas. You know, some of you walk into Kmart or Vons and you hear Mariah Carey. There's like that one famous song of hers. It always comes on. What's your Christmas playlist? You know, there's always these famous songs that we love that. And for me, there's certain songs that I just love because it brings back just memories from when I was a child. It brings back memories of when I just was encountering the Lord and these sweet moments with the Lord and these amazing moments of Christmas that have gone past, right? And so what's your Christmas playlist? And so as I begin to kind of think about that, I begin to think about some very beloved songs of Christmas in America. And this one particular song today, I just want to hone in on and focus on. And I believe and I pray it's going to give you some hope today. Say hope. And strength. Come on, just work with me. The song I want to talk about today is O Holy Night. Say, O Holy Night.
O Holy Night.
You know that's on your playlist when you know. And it's a good song. And we're actually going to have the crew sing it in just a second. But O Holy Night is a very fascinating song because it was written in the mid-1800s. And it was actually inspired by this French priest. And this little priest, he loved the Lord. And he wanted to communicate the gospel to the people in the surrounding area in a way that they could understand it better, in a way that their emotions would understand it better. And so he found a poet, this famous poet in the area. And he said, would you write a poem about Luke chapter 2? You guys can come up. I'm going to be ready in just a second. Could you write a poem on Luke chapter 2? And he says, yeah, of course. And so he writes this beautiful poem on Luke chapter 2, and he writes, O Holy Night. And the man loved it so much that he said, I am going to get my musician, my composer friend, and maybe he could put some words or some music to this thing. And so his composer friend comes along, writes some music, and all of a sudden, O Holy Night was born, and they begin to sing it, and the churches grabbed a hold of this, and all over the world, they begin to sing this song, O Holy Night, and it became famous overnight. But the thing that, the story that I love about this song, this actually happened about six decades later, 1906, there was a Canadian professor. He was a professor at a university in Canada, and this man loved the Lord. He just loved God with all his heart. And on Christmas Eve, 1906, this man has an idea. He says, I'm going to kind of make this, he made this makeshift generator. He had a microphone, a makeshift generator, and he comes up with the very first AM broadcast. Pretty cool. 1906. And he begins to, from the microphone, he begins to read Luke chapter 2. And he begins to speak this over the airwaves. And then as soon as this is done, he grabs his violin. And he begins to play O Holy Night. And O Holy Night was the very first song that ever went over the airwaves.
Wow.
It was the very first song that the world heard on the airwaves. And so I think it's a special song. There's a lot to it. There's some very meaningful parts. But I thought to really grab you, why don't we just let the crew sing it to us really quick, and then we'll jump into this message.
Christ is the Lord.
That was beautiful. Christmas playlist. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. Oh, holy night. Say, oh, holy night. My Bible. The thing that I love about that song, and there's a lot that I like, there's a lot of words that stand out to me and kind of grip me as I sing, and that was so anointed. I just love both of you. Let me know when your Christmas album comes out, brother. And Becca, any album. But the two words that I think that truly stands out to me in this song would be this: a thrill of hope. And then a weary world rejoices. A thrill of hope and a weary world rejoices. Say, thrill of hope. And weary world rejoices. These two things are they seem kind of contrary and they seem so different. And I think it's so powerful. And I think it resonated with the people in the mid-1800s. It resonated with the land during 1906. And I think it resonates with us where we are as a culture and where we are as a land. Right now, I think there's a lot of weariness in our land. I think there's a lot of weariness in our culture, in our country, in communities, in marriages. I think there's just weariness, right? And people are just tired. They feel drained. They feel emotionally drained, emotionally zapped. I don't know what to do. I'm feeling weary, right? Have anybody ever felt that way?
No.
I think it's a word that captures a lot of people, even over the holiday, over the Christmas season. I think people are they do so much for Thanksgiving, and then it's like, whoa, you got a whole month of shopping and Christmas caroling and this and that and this, and it's all awesome because it's all for Him. But sometimes I think people can get worn down and get weary even in the Christmas season. And sometimes we put our hope in all the gifts. It's like, it's all about the gifts. It's all about the gifts. It's all about this. It's all about, you know, all these things that we can do, and we forget that it's all about Him, and then it just wears us down. And we're like, why am I so tired this Christmas season? Where's my joy this Christmas season? Anybody ever said that? You know, and it's because we've got our focus off of the main thing. And so I just want to share something that I think will minister to you. And it begins in Lamentations. And this is really good. So, a thrill of hope, weary world rejoices, new and glorious morning. Hallelujah. And so in Lamentations chapter 3, you can turn there, and we're going to go through a couple verses, and I'm going to talk about hope and weariness. And I think the Lord has some hope for us today. Amen. And if you look in the book of Lamentations, you see this is the prophet Jeremiah writing and talking. And this was a moment in, you know, the book is called Lamentations, right? It's not happytations, you know. This is not the book of excitement. It's Lamentations. It's he's feeling broken. He's feeling sorrowful. He's feeling discouraged and distressed in his heart. Why? Because in 586 BC, Jerusalem fell. What Jeremiah loved, and what all these people love, what they love, the city they love, the people they love, it was destroyed. It was in ruins. And so here's Jeremiah, and it says that his heart was troubled. Let me get to my verses here. Verse 20, let's read a few verses. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Another translation says, my soul is downcast within me. I think it's okay. Sometimes we're like, oh, faith is just ignoring what's in front of you. Faith is ignoring the problem that is in front of you. Faith is looking at the ruins and saying, there's no ruins here. That's denial. That ain't faith. There's no ruins. There's no ruins. There's no ruins. There's no. That's not faith. That's just denial. That's not faith. Faith is, I can assess the situation. I can look that it is no longer the same. I am standing in ruins right now. And actually, my heart kind of hurts.
Yeah.
You can, that is, there's, that's not a lack of faith. I think sometimes we're like, that's fear, that's a lack of faith. No, it's not. Jeremiah did not have a lack of faith. He just had a broken heart for a moment. He had a broken heart. And he said, my heart is hurting, my heart is distressed. Like, I know what it used to be. I know what the potential is, but I'm looking at this and I'm standing in ruins and my heart is just troubled. My heart is distressed. My heart is sinking because of my people are hurting. And when my people are hurting, I'm hurting. Amen. And so this is happening. And so it's like, he didn't pretend it wasn't happening, but he acknowledges that it is happening. Come on, that's a faith message right there. He acknowledged that it was happening. But here's the kicker. I think sometimes what we do and what I've done and what the church does sometimes is we assess it, which we need to do, but then we stay there. And we don't move past that. And we just allow that to discourage us, to frustrate us, to make us sad. And so acknowledge it. Assess the situation. But then what does the Bible say that he begins to do? It says in verse 21, it says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. And so it's okay to look at your current situation and say, this sucks. This really sucks. I'm mad. I'm mad as a hornet right now because of what I'm dealing with, because of the betrayal, because of the sickness, because of the financial situation. I'm mad. It's okay to assess that. It's okay to acknowledge it. But then at some point, we have to dig deep into our heart and remember the faithfulness of the Lord. We have to remember, bring back that revelation that ministered to you 20 years ago. Bring back that truth that just so set you on fire. Bring back the truth that He is your shield. He is your refuge. He is your rescue. Bring back. He says, I remind myself. I bring it to my mind. Maybe it's in the back of my mind right now. It's there somewhere. And so I got to bring it to the forefront. He is good. He is healer. He is my deliverer. He is my provider. Bring it back to the forefront. Bring it back to the front of your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Call to remembrance and bring that revelation back. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. When you remind yourself, you begin to have hope. That's so good. Come on, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
You're preaching. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Amen.
Amen.
So this is just, let me keep seeing if I need to read a little bit more here before I get my point. Here we go, verse 23. They are new every morning. His mercies are what? New every morning. I love that. I love that His mercies are new every morning. I love that there's fresh joy for me every morning. I love that there's fresh hope for me every morning. And the thing that, there's a couple things that I just want to pull out of here, and I hope it would bless us as we begin to embark on our Christmas season and journey. But the first thing is that Jesus wants to give you a new day. And so I think sometimes we feel like we're in a night season. We're in a difficult season. We're standing in ruins like Jeremiah was, like Nehemiah was, like many of those in the Old Testament. They're standing in ruins, but there comes a point where you have to begin to bring to remembrance, bring to mind, bring to your heart what is the truth about the situation, about the future, and realize that I might be in a night season right now, but God has a new morning for me. God has a new day for me. And that new day is filled with what? Hope. That new day is filled with mercy. New mercy. Not mercy from yesterday, but mercy that is new. And so Jesus wants to give us a new day that's full of new mercy. And here's a great thing. His new day that He's bringing tomorrow, His new day for my life, has all of the breakthrough that I need in it. His new day for you, Lana, Vicky, every person, it has all the breakthrough, it has all the healing, it has all of every provision that you need in it. So tomorrow,
amen.
Tomorrow has what you need, amen? So look what it says, verse 24. The Lord is my portion. This is Jeremiah. It says, it's new every morning. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says the Lord. Therefore, I will hope in Him. I mean, think about that. Like, God knows what you need tomorrow. He knows what you need. He knows that you need to pay that bill. He knows that, you know, that you need to get extra money for your Christmas tree, for your son to have a birthday present, whatever. He knows what the needs are. And he's standing in your tomorrow with all the provision and miracles that you need. Look at the Israelites. I mean, I love reading about the Israelites and they're wandering in the desert. And you know, it's such a fascinating portion of Scripture. But here they are wandering, and the Lord was so gracious and he was so kind. And what did he do? He continued to provide. He's like, here's manna. Hallelujah, manna. You know, whoo, you're feeding us, Lord. He kept providing manna, and he kept every day the same time manna would come, right? And then what would they do? Sometimes they would try to steal other people's manna. Sometimes they would try to hoard their manna. Okay, let's not eat too much today. Let's stockpile it, and then we'll have a bunch so that we can just survive on our own. But then every time they would stockpile, every time they would steal, it would rot. And it would just disappear. But then if they would just wait patiently on the Lord, every day it would come at the exact moment. Wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Wait again, I say, on the Lord. There's something about waiting on the Lord and waiting and that knowing that he's going to provide for you in your tomorrow. He's got manna for you in your tomorrow. He's not going to leave you. He's not like, oh, shoot, 3 o'clock. Dang it. I've got to get to the manna store. You know, Vons is all out of manna. I'm sorry. You know, sorry, guys. Can you wait a week? You know. No, he knows what we need, and he's providing for us. He has your breakthrough for you. He has your provision for you. This is such a beautiful story in the Israelites. If he could do it for them, he could do it for us. You know, and Jesus even taught us, what did he say? Give us today our daily bread. And not to give us tomorrow our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. But it starts with that. Give us today our daily bread. We want to be dependent upon you today. We need you. I think this is what the Lord is trying to teach the children of Israel. He was trying to teach the disciples through Jesus, is that we need a daily dependence upon the Lord. And if we have a daily dependence, he will come through. He's going to come through no matter what's going on in your life. Amen?
Yep.
I've seen it, you know, time and time again. You know, when I was a missionary, I remember there would be times where, and we didn't have social media. I mean, it's weird to even think that there was a time with no social media, but I was a missionary with no social media. We had email, which was fun, but nobody would ever write back. It was like email and then snail mail. You know, I remember sending newsletters in the snail mail, which it would take even twice as long because you're sending it from Mongolia. So it's like takes 2 weeks, 3 weeks to get to a person. And anyway, so I remember there'd be many, many times where, you know, all finances would just run out. And I still needed money for rent. I still needed money for all the things, you know, and I didn't have a work visa over there. I had a religious visa. So I needed money from partners, support, missionary support. And I kid you not, every single time without fail, like, late in the midnight hour, you know, like God's going to turn it around. He always came through to the penny. Like I would need like this exact moment. I'm like, gosh, I have this huge ministry thing in my heart. Like I feel like we're supposed to go into the countryside, but there's no money for it right now. And then all of a sudden somebody, a couple times, people from this church would just feel led of the Lord to send a few extra $100 and or people from other places that I've met before. I mean, it was just incredible time and time again. That's what happens when Heather and I were like at our lowest, you know, and we're our daughter's sick and all this stuff. It is like we knew that we had to quit our jobs and we knew that we had to just go all in with this thing. And it was scary, you know, it was scary emotionally. It was scary financially. It was scary in lots of different ways. But we quit and we just went full force and just said, Lord, you're our provider. And literally every single day, he would provide. We're like, I don't know how we're going to pay this thing. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know. But then all of a sudden, a new day would come and more provision would come. A new day would come and emotional provision would come. A new day would come and spiritual provision would come. Another day would come and somebody's like, man, I just want to bless you. I mean, somebody called me and they're like, I want to bless you financially. I just want to bless you so much. but I don't want you to use it for any medical bills. I don't want you to do anything like that. I just want you to go for like 5 days or however long you can, go to a nice hotel and go stick your feet in the beach, stick your feet in the water. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. And he's like, no, you have to do this or I'm not giving you the money. I'm like, I'm like, all right, we'll do this. You know? He's like, you need rest, you know, and I just want to bless you. So it's like you got to receive that, and you got to receive that you know that God's taking care of you in your tomorrow. I mean, I got tons of testimonies, but even in this church, it's just been wonderful to watch over the last 5 years. You know, there's been highs and lows financially, but the Lord loves His church, and the Lord always seems to take care of His church. And so there's been moments where we're like, well, I don't know how we're going to do that. How are we going to pay all these different things that are coming out? How are we going to continue to support these ministries? How are we going to continue to do this? And then all of a sudden, the Lord puts it on people's hearts, and He takes care of His church because He knows what we need. Amen. God is faithful. God is good. He gives us our daily bread. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so what's going on in us personally? Like, what is the need in our lives? And what are we just freaking out about today? Is it your marriage? Like, is your marriage just struggling? You know, it's like, I just want to encourage you. There's hope and there's healing for your marriage tomorrow. Are you feeling just weak and weary, as the song says? Are you just worn down, weak, weary? There's strength for you. Are you feeling anxious and depressed? There's joy. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
I love the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is it's our medicine. And He has fresh joy for us today. And so whatever we're facing, whether it be depression, anxiety, fear, whatever these things may be, just remember that the Lord loves you. Remember that the Lord is going before you. He has exactly what you need in your tomorrow. Amen. Amen. That should give you a little bit of confidence and a little bit of hope that you don't have to do this thing alone. Amen. Number two, we're talking about a new day. Say new day.
New day.
A new day with the Lord will always give us the hope that we need to keep moving.
Yep.
Say keep moving.
Keep moving.
Keep moving. Keep swimming. Finding Nemo. I got little kids. Can you tell? Keep swimming. Keep moving. A new day with the Lord brings us the hope to keep moving, to keep going. And He gives us that thrill of hope in our weariness, in our night seasons. You know, and it's like I said in a moment ago, but it's the belief that there is actually a morning coming. It's the belief that, man, I feel like something's holding onto my legs right now. I feel like just suffocating. I can't get out of this thing. But it's the belief and it's the knowing in your spirit that morning is coming. And if morning is coming, that means that mercy is coming. And joy is coming and hope is coming. And so there's new stuff on the horizon for you. It's all the hope that you need is right in front of you. So He gives us all that hope. Amen. It's the thrill of hope. Verse 25, it says, the Lord is good to those who, what? Wait. Well, seek Him. Yes, seek Him and wait. And my translation says, who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Hallelujah. And another, actually, this word wait, it says in my Bible here that that is also translated as hope. That word is hope. And so those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, who put their hope in Him, amen. That's so good. To the soul who seeks Him. Why is this important? Why is this whole thing about hope important? Because we know in the Bible, it says in Proverbs that what? That hope deferred makes the heart sick.
It's a tree of life.
Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And, you know, we know that people can go 40 days. We know Jesus went 40 days, and we know people will fast for 40 days. I've seen some people that have fasted for 50 days. You know, there's people that you could fast and you can go without food for a certain amount of time. We know physically, your body can go without water for a few days. I don't know the exact.
3 days.
There you go. 3 days. And so 3 days and you're done. You know, but you cannot live without hope for very long. You can't live without hope for very long because your heart begins to get sick without hope. Your heart begins to get sick and weary and drained. And so we need hope to sustain us. We need hope to continue in this journey and to continue in the battle. Amen?
Amen.
And so I think people, we struggle because we put our hope in all the wrong places. We put our hope in our job. We put our hope in the stock market. We put our hope in a relationship. We put our hope in people. We put our hope in events. We put our hope in situations. There's all kinds of good stuff and good things that we place our hope in, but all of those things will fail us. The only thing we can place our hope in is Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it say in Hebrews? I love this. Hebrews 10, and it's verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Unwavering confession. Unwavering hold. For he who promised is faithful. I like that. I don't know if you've ever heard this analogy, but you know, pit bulls have a pretty intense, you know, bite. And they have this ability to lock their jaw. And I've heard this taught before, but when I was working for animal control in Reading, I saw this firsthand, and I'm like, that jaw ain't moving. You know, when they would lock jaws, when they would bite each other and they would lock down, like, it is intense. It is scary because you cannot get that mouth open without like beating it on the head or something. If they're hurting a person, it is literally impossible. They lock down. And so we have to have that kind of tenacity, that kind of lock hold, that kind of grip on hope. Don't lose hope. You got to lock that thing in, lock it into place. I'm not going anywhere. This is who I am. This is where I'm going. You got to lock it in. Be a pit bull. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, be a pit bull. I remember I was in China. I was in China, and we went out kind of, you know, the countryside, and I was with a bunch of these awesome Chinese guys, and they took me to this little theme park, and it was like this fun little place that was just outside Beijing and about 30, 40 miles outside of Beijing. And so it was smaller than the capital, but it was still, you know, very large. And they said they wanted to take me to this fun Chinese theme park. And I'm like, okay. So we're eating and we're having fun. And they say, look, let's go on the zip line. And I said, yeah, that sounds fun. I love a good adrenaline rush, you know. And so we climb up there and everybody gets hooked up. And I see the guys just zipping down. Zoom. And I'm like, wow, that looks fun. And the zip line goes over the entire park. It's this, it's just massive. And I'm like, this looks so cool. And so they begin to buckle me up and everything. And I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, I just begin to like look around me. And I begin to look at how small everybody was. They're I love Chinese people, but they're built a little bit smaller. And you have these crazy thoughts when you're like a couple hundred feet above the air. And so I'm like, I wonder if they've ever put an American dude in here before. Like, I don't think they've ever done this. I'm probably going to rip out of the harness and I'm going to splat all over the little Chinese theme park. And so I'm like, they're buckling me in and everybody's like, yeah, good. I'm like, you know. And so I just, in this moment, I'm like, I'm gonna die, you know. I don't know what to do. And I see this little rope above me that's going down, that's attaching to my harness. And so I said, I'm gonna grab onto this thing. And my hand ain't moving. And so I grab onto this thing, and I'm like, it was just this weird moment. But I grabbed a hold, and you could not take my hand off if you tried. I had the power grip, I had the power hold, and I was holding on that thing, and I had a great time. I flew right over the entire park, but that was the thing. And the Lord would just show me, have that kind of grip on your faith. Have that kind of grip on your hope. Don't let go of hope. Grip it strong. Amen. You know, I think sometimes in my life and in all of our lives, we have this grip, and we're like, we're going. And then we're like, situations and storms. It's like Peter can see Jesus. He can see hope. He can see his Savior. But then he's like, whoa, 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 there's storms. There's raging waters. And he lets go of hope and he begins to sink in the water. And so I think sometimes we have a power grip, but then we allow voices, circumstances, situations, the waves, the wind, and we take our eyes off and we begin to focus in on the waves. And you begin to grab a hold of fear, and you begin to grab a hold of anxiety, and you begin to grab a hold of these things that are just going to crash over you. And it just washes you up and mixes you all in, and it's just it's a no good mess. Amen. And so don't let go of hope to grab hold of fear, because it's going to just torment you. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lose hold of hope. Come on. We all know people that have let go of hope in their marriages and in businesses. And, you know, I know people. We could all share stories, but I could just, these two people that I went to Bible college with, and great people, love the Lord, spirit-filled people, tongue-talking people, you know. I don't know, it's important. they were full of faith, been on mission trips, but for whatever reason, they were in a dark night of the soul. And they could not seem to find their way out and navigate out of this dark night. And so although they loved the Lord with all their heart, soul, strength, they found themselves in a very difficult place. And both of these individuals took their lives. And so we know people that have given up hope. You know, and what would you tell an individual that gave up hope? It's like you just want to tell them, like, come on, the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Like your night might suck right now. Your day might be the worst day ever. You might have been cut off by everybody in the Vons parking lot and somebody gave you the finger. But tomorrow's a new day. Come on. I mean, it's like it's a snowball effect. And you're like, you wake up and like all this stuff's happening, and you turn on the TV, you're like, oh man, this is just a junk day. And then it's just one thing after the next, and it just downward spiral. But what I would love to tell people, and I think what we would love to tell people that have just, you know, got washed up into these situations, is just tell them, hey, it's going to be okay. The sun is going to shine tomorrow. The birds are going to sing tomorrow. You know, it was like, we got this little bird feeder at our house, and it was, you know, just last week it was just snowing so hard, and I was like, is it ever going to stop snowing? You know, it's like, are the roads ever going to clear up? And it was just all socked in, and it's great, but you kind of like missed a little bit of blue skies. But then the very next, it was like 2 days later, you know, the blue skies begin to come, and all these birds begin to come out of hiding. And they begin to eat the food, and they begin to make their beautiful little sounds, and the sun begin to shine. And so there's always a new day. There's always a new day. Don't let what's happening today discourage you from living in victory tomorrow. Amen. Amen. And we're almost done. It's getting late. But another point here is a new day and a new morning with the Lord will bring the help that you're seeking. Let's read those verses again. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him or hope for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. And it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Come on, Jeremiah, you are just tearing it up, brother. You know, it's amazing what waiting on God will do for us, right? The Bible says, one of my favorite scriptures, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings of eagles. And there's something powerful about waiting on God and realizing that maybe today is discouraging, but tomorrow can look totally different. Tomorrow can look entirely different than what today is looking like and feeling like. Think about that for a minute. I mean, think about these stories, these beloved stories in the Gospels. There's so many stories where the situation changed in an instant. But think about Lazarus. Come on, Lazarus. Lazarus was, he was dead. It doesn't get any worse. He was dead for 4 days, you know, and the sisters came to Jesus and they said, please pray for our brother. We believe a miracle can happen. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And then he shows up like 2 days later and they're like, well, he's been dead for 4 days now, Jesus. And so they lost hope. They were without hope. The King James Version literally says that he stinketh, you know. So he was like, he was done. He was gone. Like nobody had hope for poor Lazarus, right? And so Jesus comes and assesses the situation. He sees weeping sisters. He sees the rock in front of the tomb. He sees the dead body. And he says, hey, bud, get up. Stand up. And he comes out and he does this little Thriller walk, you know, and with the rags hanging off of him. You know, that was the inspiration for Thriller, but he's wrapped up like a mummy. But so he speaks to him. He says, come on out of here. And like, think about that. Lazarus was done. He had no hope. He was dead for 4 days. And Jesus steps on the scene and everything changes. His day changed because Jesus stepped on the scene. Jesus wants to, he gives you the help that you're seeking in that new morning. Amen. Come on. He shows up and everything changes. Amen. One day with Jesus changes everything. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she had this issue of blood, and she's weary, she's tired, she's frustrated. She's, I'm not going to deal with this my entire life. Like, think about the embarrassment and the agony that this woman had to endure for not just a couple years, not a couple months, but 12 years. Spent money on physicians and different things. And then all of a sudden she hears Jesus is walking through town. She says, I'm just going to go for this thing. I don't know, but I'm going to go for it. He's not even looking at me, but get out of my way, out of my way, out of my way. You know, I don't know. I've seen some intense, if you've ever seen a Russian grandma or a Mongolian grandma, they are intense. They can get anybody out of the way. You know, like, I remember I love bunny trails, but I was sleeping in the countryside of Mongolia. It's minus 40 degrees in the countryside of Mongolia. We're all huddled up by a fireplace, and I got my North Face sleeping bag. It's a mummy bag, and I'm still cold, you know. And this little, awesome little Mongolian grandma, she's stoking the fire for us all night. And every once in a while, she would literally come by, and she would lift us up with one hand. She lifted my whole body up with one hand, and she would put new papers and new matting under me so I wouldn't get cold from the ground. And she would do that for every single person. I'm like, this 70-year-old plus little lady is lifting everybody. I mean, they're just intense. And so I kind of think of the woman with the issue of blood kind of like just getting the disciples out of her way. Like, you move out of my way. And because I got to get to Jesus, because if I could just touch Jesus, everything's going to change.
Yeah.
She didn't care who was in her way. She didn't care what people were saying. She didn't care about the gossip anymore. I just got to touch Jesus. It's all about him. And so she touches the hem of his garment, and everything changed one day. It didn't matter what happened yesterday. It didn't matter how long the night season was, because Jesus changed it for her that day. Come on, this is giving somebody some hope.
Yes, it is.
Then we see the man at the pool of Bethesda. This is an interesting case because he had it for 38 years. 38 years this poor guy was lame, was brought in on a mat set by the pool. For 38 years he was thinking, why? Why am I like this? Why is this happening to me? He knows Jesus is in the area. Why are these guys, they're getting healed. I've heard this Lazarus got raised from the dead. I can't even get my legs back. What's up with that? You know, you think about things, and all of a sudden Jesus walks up on the scene and changes everything. He says, pick up your mat and what? Walk. Come on, one day with Jesus will change everything. And what is this even? What am I even saying? How am I connecting this? I think Jesus stepping into your situation, what is that? That is the thrill of hope. That is the thrill of hope. That is the hope returning. And that was what Bethlehem was experiencing. You see, there was corruption, there was chaos in the land, and then in a moment, hope came into the world through Jesus Christ, through a Virgin Mary. Hope came to the earth. And it wasn't just for then, it's for now.
Yes.
It wasn't just for that story, it's for us right now. Hope for us right now. And so, are you in a night season? Look at your neighbor and say, are you in a night season? And if they are, just say, a new day is coming.
New day is coming.
Amen. Romans chapter 13. We're almost done. Maybe we could sing one more song. I don't know. I know we're kind of going over, but I just... Romans chapter 13. We could sing, maybe we could sing Oh Holy Night, but if she's busy, you can sing whatever you want, Patrick. But Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, it says this, and do this knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Yes.
Sleep happens in the night. Awake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Isn't that a beautiful verse?
Yes.
For those that are struggling, for those that have just felt overwhelmed emotionally. There's lots of things that can come at us in this world, and you know, with friends and with your business and jobs and marriages and kids. There's just a lot that gets thrown at us, and especially during the holidays. But this is a promise, and it says, "The night is far spent." What does that mean? It means that it's almost over. The sun is going to rise. Hallelujah. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Our weary world, sometimes I felt weary in my time, in my life at different points, but whenever I'm weary, I can bring back the revelation. I can bring back the truth that there's always hope. Because hope is not a thing. Hope is a person. Hope is Jesus. We don't put our hope in this story. We don't put our hope in that. We don't put our hope in all these things out there. We put our hope in Jesus. And so you get that faith, that pit bull faith, and you lock on to Him. He is your source. He is your anchor. He is the one that you hold on to with dear life, with everything in you. And you go through the storms. You go through the storms. You go through the night. You go through all obstacles and everything that seems like this is going to kill me. This is going to destroy me. This is going to destroy my family. No, hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Because it won't let you down. He's not a man that he should lie. And he's faithful. I just feel like the Lord just wants to show his faithfulness to Church on the Mountain. Just close your eyes with me. We're almost done. But I feel like he just wants to show his faithfulness and his hope to you, his new morning to you today. That we can have the most beautiful and awesome Christmas season of our life. Because we're celebrating Jesus. We're putting Him back at the forefront of our life. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. And the thing that is so fascinating and so interesting to me about this whole song and this whole thing of the Holy Night is that actually, the two men that wrote this song, this little poet and his composer friend, they were not believers. They were not believers, but the French priest was a believer. The French priest said, "Will you write this? Will you do something out of Luke 2? And then this poet and this composer make this beautiful song, but they didn't even know the Lord. But listen to this. And so this is, I just felt this. Sometimes we can go through the Christmas season and we can have this emotional connection to a song. We can have a connection to Luke chapter 2. Oh, I love the story. I love the story of Jesus. I love this, I love that, but we have no relationship. We've never yet surrendered to our Savior. And so I don't want anybody just to go through life just having a fond memory of a Christmas song or a Christmas moment or a passage of the Bible. I want us to know that we know that we know that He loves us and that we are His and He is ours. So I want, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know where we're all at. I believe and I hope and pray that we're all walking with the Lord, but you just don't know where people are at in their life and their journey. And I just want to give you an opportunity to just say yes to Jesus. And maybe you're saying yes to Him one more time. That's okay. Say yes to Him 10 times. Say yes to Him a million times. Say yes to Him every morning. But right now, I want everybody just to repeat after me. And if you mean this, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. It's as simple as that, but you got to believe. So everybody just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess You as my Lord and Savior. I repent for my sins. I repent for all that happened in my yesterday. And I want to live for You today. I want to live for You tomorrow. God, fill me right now with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me right now with grace. Fill me right now with Your peace that passes understanding. I choose You. I worship You. I live for You. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I believe that is the most important prayer you can pray in your life. And so if you prayed that for the first time or the second or third time, tell somebody about it because it's important. It's an important decision. But we're going to sing a song and then we'll close and you can be released. But Father, I just thank You for this day. I thank You, God, for hope. And Lord, I thank You that You're giving us a new day. A new day this Christmas season, that we don't have to be discouraged and overwhelmed with the bills. We don't have to be overwhelmed with the money that seems to be leaving bank accounts. We can have hope and we can have confidence and we can trust You in the face of everything. So Lord, I just pray You would just comfort everyone today with that revelation, with that truth. We love You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. And we just remind ourselves of Your goodness and how You continually come through for us, God. The testimonies are unending. They're just so good, Lord. We're a thankful people. We're a grateful people. We love You, Lord. Let's sing a song.
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of my dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared. And the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, He. Thank you, Lord, that you came for us, that you've proven your love, God. You came from your throne to live a life that we might know you, God, to forgive our sins. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Do you want to say something, Mike? I don't know if I should close or you want to say something. Bless you. Have a great day.